Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Three of these involved our own country. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications.
Number 9.
Your doctor recommended regular dose of conspiracy theory.
Now we get to the root of it.
It is entertaining for
you. And find something that might
be. Anybody got in there after the planes hit.
Stand up and fight back.
That other than the government story.
Negotiated with Iran to hold release of the hostages.
J. Edgar Hoover and...
Welcome to the ATS Review from AboveTopSecret.com.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. Giving marching orders to the Tinfoil Hat Brigade for 7 years.
Hello and welcome to the 9th edition of the ATS Review. This is the Skeptic Overload with my partner Springer, way out there in somewhere in Nowheresville, Indian Territory, something like that. We have the typical madness to cover today. We're going to get into a little bit about the Anonymous Board that we started a couple months ago now. Going to cover an old thread. Springer has, what a surprise, he's got a UFO thread he's going to talk about. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite threads and get into something that's new cropping up right now on ATS, and who knows what else is going to crop up as we fumble about trying to make another podcast.
Recommended by 4 out of 5 extraterrestrials.
That's what we're going to do. 2 days in a row?
2 days in a row. Can you believe it? How is that possible?
I don't know. The world must be tilting on a new axis.
Maybe that's it. You know what? That reminds me. Ever since Georgie Boy has taken over Coast to Coast, we don't hear too much of the Earth Changes stuff anymore that used to be covered on that show.
Yeah, Art Bell was really big into that. As a matter of fact, he co-authored a book with Whitney Strieber, I think.
That's right.
Don't quote me on that. But, yeah, George just isn't into that stuff, I don't think.
No. I kind of missed that.
Yeah.
It would sort of fit in with the paranoia of global warming these days.
That you would think.
I think they had to cancel the session on global warming in Washington because of the ice storm.
Yeah. Oh, the sweet irony.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to William Wensack earlier, and he can't even get into his apartment. It's completely iced over.
Wow.
He's at mom and dad's house. He got out of the hospital, and he's at mom and dad's house.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You're freeloading. That's great. Well, no, not really. You want to go home and relax.
Yeah, no, that poor guy. If anybody deserves to go home, it's him. God bless you, Willie.
Jesus. So anyway, one of the new things we haven't talked about, and I guess one of the main reasons we haven't talked about it is because we haven't been talking about anything for a long time, is the Anonymous Board that was started on Above Top Secret about a couple months ago now. And some members like it. A lot of members don't. But basically, it's for the first time ever, non-members can create a post for Above Top Secret. And also, one of the things we're allowing in the Anonymous Board that we're not allowing anywhere else is posting announcements of meetings or special events for activists and all those other people that like to post meetings.
Yeah.
For all practical purposes, it's turned out to be pretty popular. As of today, 2,873 posts on the Anonymous Board.
Wow. And I know discussion board sites that have been up for over a year that don't have that many posts yet.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, really?
But everything is broken up into topics just like the main board, and you can sort through and look at just the anonymous posts on alien and UFOs or secret societies and science and technology. And for the most part, it's non-members responding to posts in the main forum. So it's pretty interesting. And there's been a few gems that have sprung up. And we've had members actually create some very interesting threads based on the information that some anonymous people have posted over there. So it's turned out to be at least an interesting read for those who would like to go and read it.
Yes. Do you have another experiment in the communication of the masses?
There you go.
Or how about that for a coin?
I'll take a coin. These are coming.
Time to play Ask the Amigos.
You started a thread in the podcast forum, something to the effect of Ask ATS Review.
That's us.
And HAL 9000 has a question for you.
Somebody asked a question.
Somebody actually asked a question. God bless you, Hal. We love you, man. I mean, at least we know we have one victim. I mean, listener.
Did you pay him? Okay. You promised him points. Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's 100,000 points. So keep an eye on the score there. Okay. He wants to know that about the 9/11 truth or deal that you went to. And I'll read his question out of politeness to him and clarity for you, because I know you can't read. You previously mentioned that you went to a New York 9/11 truth meeting, and I was wondering if you can describe that a little bit. Boy, Kenny, where was the meeting held, and how many people attended? What kind of discussions took place? Were they debating over evidence, or was everyone in agreement that 9/11 was an inside job, and they only discussed things like strategy on getting the word out? Or was it like a lodge meeting where they bring a keg and everybody gets drunk?
I wish. Now, that would have been productive.
Yeah, that might have been worth going to.
Actually, you know what? The people I met at the meeting and exchanged emails with, a few people who couldn't make it, that's exactly what they need. These people need a couple keggers, let me tell you.
Alum.
The meeting took place at St. Mark's Church, which is on 2nd Avenue and, I forget. It's in the 20s, on 2nd Avenue and 20s in Manhattan. And I guess they have the meeting every Wednesday there around 7:30. So if you're in the city and you want to stop by, anyone is welcome. But and I had done some preliminary research and settled on this New York 9/11 group as someone to approach. And did I approach them at precisely the wrong time.
Woo!
Having
we got cults. Yeah. We have rumors about cult activity, involvement with crazy people. Ooh, yeah.
Internal turmoil is an understatement. it's if you do some research, some Google searches on New York 9/11 and the turmoil, it's not that hard to find, and this cropped up relatively recently. There's a power struggle, all that kinds of stuff. Wow. But besides the point, we do have in these meetings a good number of people that pretty much all have concluded, some more aggressively than others, that 9/11 is an inside job, and they're trying to figure out how to get the word out. I was trying to be a voice of moderation, if you will, helping them to understand that activism of yelling on street corners with signs, 9/11 is an inside job, is only going to get you so far. And that message needs to be refined and reinvigorated or reimagined almost to get the point across to mom and pop six pack.
you coined a great phrase for it. It needs to be cocktail party safe.
That's right. Yeah.
And man, have they missed the boat on that. It's just unreal.
If we could find a way to, and I think this leads into the thread I'm going to talk about later. If we can find a way to create a short list of easy, simple 9/11 conspiracy topics that you can bring up at the water cooler at work safely or at any cocktail party, I think that's the thing.
Good luck.
Thank you.
from the dusty archives of old threads.
This is a good one.
Yeah, I know. This is actually interesting.
Yeah, it's wild. I just read it again. I mean, I remember it vaguely from 2004, but I just reread it. Wow.
Not a lot of members actually end up visiting the forum homepage, but at the top is a banner of thread review, and you click on that, and you can look at the top threads started in each month over the past 4 years. And this one is an interesting one from August of 2004. New member with an interesting situation, and what I'm going to do is read a bit of it, and it's a long post and a long thread, an unusually long thread for 2004. We didn't have that many long threads that began back then, and his username is Everlasting Know-It-All. Yeah, geez, I almost read that.
He's still around, too.
He is.
You and ask him how this is working out. I mean, wow.
Okay, I'm new here, but I have a weird question, and I'll try to set this up properly. When I first started dating my wife back about 15 years ago, we had an incident involving her parents. She was alone at home, and her parents had gone to dinner. They came home in quite a hurry, confident they would find her gone. Apparently, they had seen her and I together at a restaurant about 20 to 30 miles away, violating her curfew and being rather intimate. Problem was, I was home, sleeping, and she was babysitting her siblings alone. According to her parents, they were absolutely positive it was us. That was weird happening, number one. After this incident and the subsequent period of trying to figure it out, we eventually noticed that on occasion there would be a dark-colored van in the vicinity of wherever we were. This never really struck us as strange until it started popping up nearly everywhere we went. After we were married, we began having several experiences of UFO sightings and other paranormal occurrences at irregular intervals. About year four of our marriage, my wife, and my brother can attest to this, began experiencing signs of classic poltergeist haunting in our home. We have had several exorcisms and other methods of removal, but the entity would not leave. It follows us from place to place and is always pacing and being mischievous, but that's not the weird part. The weird part is that it has ceased to exhibit classic haunting characteristics. Instead, things have begun happening suggesting it may not be a ghost at all. For instance, a shimmer, a la the cloaking device the Predator uses in the movie, or the active camo used in popular game Halo. An apparent inability by the entity to pass through solid objects, even to the point where we have seen it trip over and fall. Obstructions. over obstructions. It uses the restroom, sleeps, and has taken things from our refrigerator.
My God.
It behaves like a classic life form. like my teenage son used to behave, it seems. Currently alive, but unseen. That is like a teenage son. Anyway, there are many other reasons for our theory, which I simply cannot explain due to the possible consequences. But let me just say this. We have reason to believe we are being watched or monitored, possibly protected, at a whole other discussion, by a gray. We are not sure yet why, but I believe we are somehow connected to ongoing research in Project Preserve Destiny and Project Bluebeam. Anyone with knowledge of why such an incident would be occurring and is occurring to contact me. In addition, anyone ever hear of similar scenarios being played out? Thanks in advance. And the thread just goes on, and it really is a fascinating read. And it gets better. If that setup is you thought was great, it just continues to get better.
Yeah. I really do. I want to contact Everlasting Know-It-All. Got some people's names. Yeah,
Everlasting Know-It-All. What throws
I want
you
to
off
contact
is
that guy and find out.
Yeah, what threw me off in reading his name is it's No with N O, not K N O W.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it looks like No Tail or something.
Yeah.
A little dyslexia thrown in, you could really make a mess out of that one. you know, whatever happened to usernames like Bob? I think I asked that on the phone the other day. Do we have a user just named Bob?
Remember One to Make All to See, how that used to throw us off at first?
Oh, my God, yeah. 12 Mike, that guy. And then of course, you got the all-time most horrid freaking username to type, Zedekus Zol Zarander. You know, John, if you're listening, dude, oh, man, you've fat-thumbed me so many times I can't even speak.
Zed.
C-3PO.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, this thread is a whopper. And it is a great setup, good writing. God, I mean, think what these people are going through. If this is really occurring in this person's life, man.
And I think, and this is definitely a precursor to the kind of thread that we're experiencing with Sleeper's extraterrestrial threat, and in a very different way, but in some ways, much more compelling, because there's a lot of really intense personal experiences portrayed in this thread.
Yeah. And when you stop and you think about this and this thread, and then like Sleeper's thread, and just humanity seems to have pockets of activity of really bizarre things going on,
and bizarre pockets too.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to just write it all off as people just, coming up with stories or whatever. And I'm sure there's a degree of that going on, but there's just got to be a whole lot of weird crap happening for all the stuff to keep popping up like it does. I mean.
Springer's favorite threads.
Yeah, my thread today was a suggestion from the Skeptic Overlord via email, of all things. But he did at least nail it with a UFO thread, which is great. But more interesting than that, I was on the phone today with a very close personal friend who is very close personal friends with Dr. Bruce McAbee. For those of you who don't know who Dr. Bruce McAbee is, he's one of the foremost videography, UFO expert guys, video expert guys in the world, basically. He's been on several specials, just a real noteworthy guy. Well, I had asked my friend to ask Dr. McAbee to look at this particular video that this thread is about. This thread's title is "I'm On to Something Huge," and it was put up by Frozen Thought. A little background on this real quick is Frozen Thought is hanging out on the shoreline of Lake Erie and has been videotaping bizarre lights over the lake at night. Now, there's a huge controversy going right now about whether this is landing lights on aircraft or not. Frozen Thought is convinced, at least in writing he's convinced, and claims to be convinced, that he knows it's not airplanes because he's standing there videoing this thing. Well, some of our astute members got on Google Earth and really mapped out the location. I mean, they pinpointed exactly where this guy is standing when he's shooting this video. And it's Airport Row, man. I mean, this whole section of Lake Erie shoreline, you almost can't throw a rock without it hitting a tarmac. So that kind of hurt the setup a little bit, I think. Number two, we had another member come on who basically has video of landing light configurations on aircraft at night that looks strikingly similar to this video. Number three, we had yet another member who is an aviation expert of sorts. I mean, he's not a pilot, but he's a ground guy. He's been involved with aircraft for, 10, 15 years. And he put up several pictures that clearly illustrate the landing light, which are these huge bright lights on the front of aircraft. And he's got photographs that show how the nav lights, the little lights on the wings of the aircraft, get blocked out by the overpowering power of the high beam lights for the landing lights. So you take all this into account and you look at this video, there's still, it's weird. I mean, the planes, one explanation is the planes are stacking up and the curvature of the earth and the great distance between you and the aircraft, yada, 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 which could explain, they're coming in a holding pattern. One comes up, it looks like one's right on top of the other, but in reality, it's 4 or 5 miles behind it. We had another member that actually got on Flight Tracker and illustrated how the planes stack up over the lake real time. You go on Flight Tracker, you can watch it. So long story short, David Sirita, who is fairly well known, not I wouldn't call him famous, but he's fairly well known video guy who's always pumping out the DVDs on UFO stuff. His latest deal was with Dan Aykroyd. He produced that Dan Aykroyd video. So, evidently, Sarita has gotten in touch with our member Frozen Thought, and they want to put a DVD out of this video. that he's got. Well, it's getting to be a pretty bad scene in the thread because everybody's shooting his video down his aircraft. So I kind of took it upon myself to have asked Dr. McAbee to have a look at this thing and just, you know, get a little expert opinion in here. And McAbee came back and said, well, I kind of got to go with the, you know, the consensus here. That's probably airplanes. So, I mean, he didn't say absolutely positively it's airplanes, but he did say that the preponderance of the evidence says that it's airplanes. It certainly looks like airplanes. So it's kind of one of those deals that quacks like a duck and walks like a duck. It's probably a duck.
Okay, I'm not getting as much into it as Springer did. I've picked one of my threads because I think this is an important effort for our members to focus on. And already within the thread, we've seen some really good collaboration and partnership from members in coming up with what I've asked for. And essentially, the title of the thread is Win 250,000 Points. What are the top five 9/11 conspiracies? And this is what we were talking about earlier, is what are the five things that you could bring up with your mother or at a cocktail party that really could help people to understand that, yes, there's still a lot of people asking questions about this, that it's not just the crazy people that are down protesting at Ground Zero, that yeah. There really is some interesting questions that still need to be asked about this event. And we're at how many pages are we on this thread now? I didn't even look at how many pages we got up to. Page six. We're at page six now. And I'd say we have three or four solid contenders. And I might do some consolidation of those, but definitely three or four contenders. And I want to see some members still work on this. But I think what I've just done recently is thrown out the offer that if anyone can also come up with five major points of the events leading up to 9/11, what people were saying, little tidbits of history, you know, like Osama bin Laden was set up by the CIA out in Afghanistan for the Mujahideen, things like that. You know, all of the conspiratorial rumors and ramblings that led up to 9/11, five major things like that. I would create a separate award if someone can come up with those as well. So we may actually have 10 points, 10, 5 leading up to, and then 5 afterwards, and that would be really interesting. And I think what we would do then is populate that 9/11 Guerrilla website with this content and create new threads authored by the two winning members so they can gain points from their efforts as well as win points from the benevolent overlord.
Yes. You know, Reality Hurts looks like he jumped in on this with the pre-conspiracies, pre-9/11 conspiracies. He's got some pretty good stuff up, man. Just glancing at it, he's got airline stock insider trading.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Flight 93, blah, blah, blah. I mean, people are really getting into this. That's good.
Nice.
That's good.
That'd yeah, so nice. It definitely is a very nice community project, and I'd like to see this grow and continue. So if you haven't seen the thread yet, jump in. You may be inspired by what the other members are writing and actually come up with an award-winning post.
Right now on AboveTopSecret.com.
We've got a thread by Mike Singh, who every once in a while, Mike comes up with some good stuff. This one is particularly interesting in the, you know, in kind of the political, global politic side of life. The title of the thread is Beginning of the End of American Domination. the rise of the new superpowers. And it really goes on to fairly well description and encapsulation of the situation in the world right now, where the, you know, where the U.S. is no longer, or maybe we still are, but we're definitely on our way down, I think, from being the 1,100-pound gorilla of the world that kind of, you know, whatever we say goes. You know, Europe is consolidating. China is certainly coming fast and furious.
And not only that, but China, India, and Russia are recently collaborating on how to counter the American threat. I don't think they used the word threat, but essentially it was clear that that's what they were talking about.
Well, I mean, and those guys have a lot of good points, because, you know, you look back at our, you know, we're pretty benevolent for a superpower. I'll give us that much credit. But, man, we have done some stupid-ass things, you know.
Yes, for example, Mike Singh covers Putin in a hard-hitting speech at the annual security conference in Munich. He talked about Washington's reckless policies were ruinous and made the world a more dangerous place to live. An almost unrestrained hyperuse of force in international relations was breeding conflict after conflict and fueling an arms race. More countries were seeking weapons of mass destruction to defend themselves against the Americans. Unilateral, illegitimate military actions have not resolved even a single problem, and on the contrary, have created more human tragedies and more hotbeds of tension. And he goes on. And, you know, some of these are rather provocative statements that a lot of apologists of the current administration will, you know, knee-jerk disagree with. But
sure,
there's also a lot in there that, you know, it's hard to if you put yourself in the mindset of a country like Russia, who's not obviously not American and not necessarily on the American side with many things, you can see that perspective in all of these points.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, imagine standing in Russia and looking out at the world and looking at our interventions, you know, I mean, our military dominance going into Afghanistan. We haven't done a damn thing. I mean, Iraq is still absolutely on fire. There's no question about it. I know that our military people are working their butts off, and I know they're doing good work, and I support the troops and all that. But at the end of the day, you have to really look for results. And what is the result of, what, 3 years now we've been in Iraq? God, it is 3 years, isn't it?
Well, the result is certainly not anything positive that we want to write home
about. Well, the problem is not solved, you know, and Putin brought that point up.
What was the problem? What was the problem?
Well, I mean, exactly. The point that Putin's making is we're creating problems instead of solving. And I absolutely agree with that. You know, and I think any time you're the biggest power and you wield it, you know, with recklessness, you're going to screw it up.
Well, when you have a powerful military industrial complex, you have to create problems.
You must. Hello. Yeah, I mean, the Rockefellers are not counting their money from raising sheep in the meadow. I mean, God. Yeah, somebody, some guy created, coined the phrase, a permanent war economy. And that one has stuck with me and resonates with me, because if you look through our history, you know, I think the 50s, from the end of World War II until the beginning of the Korean conflict, and that was the nice new little thing, you know. We don't call them wars anymore. We call them police actions or conflicts. Yeah, conflict. Jesus Christ, you're bombing the hell out of people. It's a war, you know.
I'm sure to the people on the ground, it's a war.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, when your neighborhood is now a great big hole in the ground, that's war.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Don't get me started.
Sounds like we did.
Yeah. That's a great thread, though. Good pick. Good pick and good work, Mike Singh.
Yes, definitely. So visit that thread and tell him you heard it here. So that wraps up number 9.